Now, today I want to look a bit more at what it is to be wholehearted. And over the last couple of weeks, Daryl has been talking and teaching on being wholehearted, wholehearted in our worship and wholehearted in our service to God. And today I want to talk a bit more about being wholehearted, but wholehearted for life, wholehearted in our life. And if you have lived 5 minutes on this earth, you will know that life is full of ups and downs. It's like a roller coaster. You know, storms come and storms go. And it's really hard to stay wholehearted, fixing our eyes on Jesus throughout those storms. But we're going to look in his word today to see what God says just exactly about that. You know, the Bible is full of examples of times when people have gone before us who have been following God and followed him with their whole hearts and then ran into a storm, slipped, failed, but God was always there to pick them up again. And you know what? God knows that we are human and knows that we have trouble with being wholehearted in things. I mean, the very word wholehearted has something to do with integrity. And integrity, one of the definitions for that is something that is whole or undivided, like something that you could cut straight through and it would be the same on the inside as what it is on the outside. Personally, I have a hard time with that sometimes. You know, inside there can be turmoil going on, but I've got poker face on the outside, not wanting to let anybody know what's going on the inside. I'm just trying to hold it all together at times, and I'm sure you are the same. But God knows that, and he knows exactly what we face, and he knows exactly what we go through. Why? Because Jesus has been in our shoes, and he's been there. He was fully God, but fully man. And so I want to read here in Hebrews, and I'm going to read from the Message paraphrase. I love the way it puts these verses, and this is an encouragement to us. If you're watching today and you need encouragement in this area, encouragement to keep going for God, to keep pressing towards the goal, let's read these verses together. So Hebrews 12 verses 1 to 3 says this. Do you see what it means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Today, do you need adrenaline shot straight into your soul? Come on, I do. I need it every single day. Take heart with when we read this and we see that God says this, when you find yourselves flagging in your faith, not if, but when. He knows that life is a roller coaster and he knows what we go through. 2020 until now has been like a roller coaster. It's been like a storm, hasn't it? There's been many good things about it, but there's been more bad things about it probably. I mean, the world has gone through a pandemic, and the distractions that we have faced and the trials and the storms that we have faced have been insurmountable. They've been on end, and it seems like. And here right now, we've just come to the end of the lockdown, and things are starting to open up a little bit more. Primark was open, so that was definitely a bonus this week. But you know what? It has been such a tough time for many, many people. People have lost jobs, families have changed, people have made massive decisions, life-changing decisions right in the middle of this pandemic. And so much has changed and it's been so turbulent. But I want to ask you, where has your focus been? See, some people have come through this time and they've said, you know what, life is short and I'm going to live for the moment and I am going to get the dream job that I want and I'm going to own a house like I've always wanted to do and I'm going to find that husband or I'm going to find that wife or, you know what, we're going to start a family. There's so many dreams and hopes and desires that people are starting to press into. And while all of that is good and there is nothing wrong with hopes and dreams and going for that, what I want to challenge you with today is your focus on those things or is your focus on Jesus? Maybe right now you're going through a storm and you're saying, if only I had that hope to be able to get there, but you're wondering how to fix your eyes on Jesus through the storm. Today we're going to look at that. You know, it's important when we want to do things for God and we want to see people saved and we want to pursue His hopes and dreams for our lives. It's so important that we do fix our eyes on those things. Like our building project next door, we have picked up the vision for that this year and we are running with it full throttle because planning permission needs to be granted very soon and we want to have that building built so that we can positively affect this community and bless them and have a space for people to come and to be able to meet God and to be able to grow together in Him. But you know what? All the way through, God keeps on challenging Daryl and I and the team, challenging us not to fix our eyes on the end goal of having this beautiful building, because there are many more beautiful buildings in the world that will be far more beautiful than the one that we're going to build. But He keeps challenging us to to stop, to take a step back, and to fix our eyes on Jesus. That if we don't have our eyes fixed on Jesus, if He isn't our number one, then we've totally missed it. There's no point in pursuing His dreams and His plans for our lives if we don't have our eyes actually fixed on who it's all about to begin with. And that's where Jesus wants our focus today. You see, Matthew 6:23 says this. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Seek first the kingdom of God. I'm going to be real with you today. You know what? In the last while, and definitely in the last year, I have found it really hard to stay focused on God at times. I found it really hard because I've been navigating what it is to be a mom, a teacher, a wife, a church leader. You know, all the parameters have changed. Just like Hebrews 12 spoke about with us running a race, it's been hard for me to know at times where the finish line has been, what I'm actually running for and where I'm running to. And the finish line has changed so many times. Like the goalposts have been moved so many times and I've had to navigate that. And I'm sure you can relate with that. But at times I have found myself saying, not what it says in Joshua, where it says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But actually, I've been saying, "As for me and my house, we will serve my own peace of mind." Or, "As for me and my house, we will serve our kids." "As for me and my house, we will serve what our home looks like. We'll decorate it. We'll get our garden lovely outside." And that has been the main focus at times. Or, you know what? Sometimes there's even more of a more noble focus, maybe. And that might be that we say, "As for me and my house, we will serve our church." While it's important to be plugged into a local church and be serving your local church, you and your household are to serve the Lord God. Fix your eyes on Jesus and seek first His kingdom. Then all these things, it says, will be added unto us. Let's keep our focus on Jesus. Let's keep our focus on the main goal, on the main prize. Let's keep our focus on our Savior. And all these things will be added unto us. Amen. Now today I want to talk a little bit about Peter. And Peter was one of the disciples. He was a fisherman who dropped everything to focus on Jesus. He dropped everything to follow Jesus. Let me just put that question to you right now before we look at the word together. Have you dropped everything to follow Jesus? Like, has there been a moment in your life where you said, "It's the cross before me and it's the world behind me. I want only Jesus. I am prepared to lose everything to follow Him. I'm going to give up my hopes, my dreams, my desires to follow Jesus. It is the cross before me, the world behind me." If you haven't made that decision yet, that's completely okay. But I want to encourage you to make that decision. It's really important that you make that decision. And today can be the day that you do that. So I encourage you, make that decision today. Hand your life over to Him today. Maybe hand your life over to Him afresh today. He loves you. He is for you. And He's calling you home. Now, let's look at Peter. Peter was a guy that Jesus called to follow Him, but he didn't have it all together. In fact, he failed many, many times. Take heart when you read about Peter's life, because he's just like you and me, where he failed so many times, and yet God had an amazing plan and purpose for his life and taught him many, many things. And in fact, I don't think we would be sitting here today if it wasn't for Peter saying yes to God. But we're going to read just right now in Matthew 14, verse 22. By the time when the disciples were out on their own, they were out on the sea, and Jesus wasn't with them, but they were out on their own, and a storm arises, and it says that the wind and the waves arise, and the wind starts blowing, and these disciples, they get so frightened, it says that they're frightened for their lives. Let's read it together. It says, as soon as the people were fed, Jesus told his disciples to get into the boat and to go to the other side of the lake, while he stayed behind to dismiss the people. After the crowds dispersed, Jesus went up to the hills to pray. As night fell, he was there praying alone, but the disciples, who were now in the middle of the lake, ran into trouble, for their boat was tossed about by the high winds and heavy seas. At about 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them, walking on the waves. When the disciples saw him walking on top of the water, they were terrified and screamed, "A ghost!" The disciples were in the storm and they were far away from land. Have you ever felt far away from land? Maybe you feel that way today, like you feel lost at sea. Being on the land, it is so good, isn't it? Because you feel the sand under your feet, or you feel the ground under your feet, and you feel steady and you know where you are and you're sure-footed. Like, just think about what it's like to be on land compared to being in the sea. These disciples were at sea in a boat, and the storm arises, and they feel fearful, and they feel doubtful, and they are so worried, and they're so insecure, and they just don't know what to do. But these disciples, these guys are realists. They were fishermen. That was their job before they chose to follow Jesus, before he called them. And their dads and their grandas and their whole lineage, they would have been fishermen. Like, these boys were the boys who at school, they stunk of fish. They knew fish. They knew seas. They knew boats. They knew fishing. They knew what it was to be out in a storm or two. So that tells me, when we read these verses and it says that the high winds rose up and the heavy seas became raging, that tells me that actually this wasn't a storm that maybe you or I would be afraid of. This was the storm that the disciples were afraid of. They were used to normal little storms, but this was probably a pretty big storm. And some translations say that they were afraid for their lives. So these guys were full of anxiety and full of fear. And it's important to say this today, that emotions, they have no moral value. You know, it didn't make these guys wimps that they felt like that. It didn't make them wimps that they were fearful in the middle of a storm. It was just real. It was just reality. It was just what they were going through. And it didn't make them good or bad people to feel these things. Sometimes we can feel bad because we have bad emotions, because we have negative emotions, but emotions are just there to be able to signal change in our lives and to be able to tell us what to do with that, but they have no moral value. So I want to say to you today, if you have been feeling fearful, if you have been feeling frustrated, if you have been feeling angry, there is no moral value in that. It doesn't make you a bad person to feel negative things. God has given you your emotions and He knows exactly where you're at. But just like we've read in these verses, Jesus was there to be able to help them. And today He is here with you to be able to help you through your storm. Question: who was it that sent them out into the sea? Who was it? we saw there in verse 22, it said, Jesus told the disciples to get into their boat and to go to the other side of the lake. So it was Jesus that told them to go out onto the sea, to get into their boat. He sent them out. It was him that told them to go. And, you know, take courage from this. Sometimes when I read, when I think about the storms in my life and I look back with doubt and I look back and I think to myself, you know, I might regret it. And I think, my goodness, that storm that I went through, if only I had have done this differently, if only I had have done this, if only I had have paid more attention to God. But actually we see through this story that these guys weren't in the storm because of disobedience, but these guys were in the storm because of their obedience to God. They were in the storm because they said yes to Jesus, because they did what it was that he was asking them to do. And sometimes we can think that when we are in storms, that it's because of our disobedience. Sometimes we can think that it's because of God's wrath and God's judgment on us, and that he's a big, angry God up in heaven with a big stick that shoots out lightning, just ready to bolt us back into position and back into obedience. You know what? Sometimes the storms aren't because of our disobedience. And I was just reading this week, and this is what I read, and it put some perspective in this. If you are like me and you've believed the lie that God as a father is the type of God who is ready to scold you and ready to punish you, then this is what it says. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. Now just think about Jesus for a minute. Just think about Jesus, full of compassion, full of loving kindness. God is love. Jesus is the one who is judging us. And Jesus judges us fairly and he judges us rightly. But he is our great high priest. He has already gone before us. And if you have given your life to him, then your sin has been nailed to the cross and your shame is paid for. He paid for it once and he paid it for it for all. And he sees you now. When God looks down, he sees you. Then he sees his son, the Bible tells us. He sees his son when he sees you, if you've put your trust in him today. So not all storms are bad. Not all storms are to correct us, but all storms are to teach us something. You might feel like Jesus is a long way off. And in this scripture, we read that Jesus was up on the mountainside praying and that the disciples were down in the sea. But do you know what? I found out just this week that actually the place where Jesus was praying had a perfect view out over the sea where they were, had a perfect view over the Sea of Galilee. And that tells me that when Jesus took himself off to pray and to be with the Father, that he wasn't a long, long way off, that he could see them in plain sight. And no matter what we are going through, Jesus can see us. Jesus is overlooking us and looking out for our safety. And right at the point where the winds were high and the seas were heavy, Jesus was ready to come walking and doing the impossible to be able to get to where the disciples were. And today, he is more than able to do the impossible to get to where you are. Amen. Let's look at what Peter's response was. In the next verses, it says this. Then Jesus said, "Be brave and don't be afraid. I am here." Hear those words today. I'm going to read that again. Then Jesus said, "Be brave and don't be afraid. I am here." Now let's look at Peter's response. Now Peter is a total crazy person here. I mean, if this was me out in the sea, I would just be screaming out for help. Just save me, Jesus, just save me. You know, I would think to myself, if he got this way on the water, then he can get a little bit further and he can come and he can save me and carry me with him the other side. But instead, Peter shouts this out, and this is just crazy. He shouts out, "Lord, if it's really you, then have me join you on the water." "Come and join me," Jesus said. So Peter stepped out onto the water and began to walk toward Jesus. But then he realized how high the waves were and he became frightened and he started to sink. "Save me, Lord," he cried out. Jesus immediately stretched out his hand and lifted him up and said, "What little faith you have. Why would you let doubt in?" And the very moment they both stepped on the boat, the raging wind ceased. And all the disciples bowed down before him and worshipped Jesus. They said in adoration, "You are truly the Son of God." You see, just before these verses, Peter has seen the 5,000 fed. He's seen Jesus break the loaves and the fish and pray and thank God for them. And then he's seen the small lunch that boy came with multiplied. But what Jesus did was he gave the baskets to the disciples, and they were able to see. Maybe the other disciples didn't recognize this, but Peter definitely did. He saw how Jesus empowered him to do that Jesus was able to do. And that was great faith. Peter was able to see that if Jesus can feed the 5,000, so can I. If he can enable me to do that, then he can enable me to be able to walk on water. You see, Jesus gives us the power to be able to do the things that he can do, to be able to heal the sick, to be able to raise the dead, to be able to set the captive free. He gives us the power to be able to get through the storm. He gives us the power to be able to walk on water and to do the impossible in the middle of the storms in our lives. And Peter saw this. But I want to say that, you know what, the goal, it wasn't walking on water. Like, if the goal was to teach us how to walk on water, then we would all be going to walking on water classes in our churches. But actually, the goal for what Jesus was teaching Peter through the storm was actually how to have faith and how to keep his eyes fixed on Jesus. And 2020, while it has been turbulent and while we have learned many, many things, 2020 wasn't just a year to teach us how to do online church well. It wasn't just a year to teach us how to do church at home when we don't have the crowds around us. It wasn't a year to teach us how to be teachers to our kids' parents. It wasn't a year to teach us how to learn our times tables again, or how to put on a mask properly, or how to wash our hands properly, or how not to spread a virus. It wasn't a year to teach us those things, but actually it was a year to be able to teach us how to keep our focus on Jesus. Now, some people have got this. Some people have worked this out over the last year, and other people have had other storms come along in their lives in the last year that they find it impossible to focus on Jesus. And actually, you might be watching this today and you might have lost your faith, or you might know somebody who has. But 2020 was a year to teach us how to fix our eyes on Jesus. And we're still going through that right now. And you know what? The time isn't up. It's still time to learn how to fix our eyes on Jesus. But it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to wake up and to grow up and to rise above the storm and to not just cry out for help whenever we need it, which is fine, but actually to say, "Jesus, what is it that you want to teach me through this storm? How do you want to develop me through this storm?" When our focus is on Jesus, we can go from complete despair to doing the impossible. But here in this story, Peter's faced with some distraction. As he fixes his eyes on Jesus and he starts to do the impossible like Jesus is doing, and he starts to walk on water, then he looks to the left and the right of him, and he sees, it says, how high the winds were around him, how high the waves were. He feels the force of the storm around him, and he begins to doubt, and he begins to sink. He's full of fear, worry, and doubt. He is full of anxiety at that moment, and he starts to sink. And actually, when we fix our eyes on Jesus, we can do the impossible. But when we fix our eyes on the waves, then we start to sink. He stepped out knowing that Jesus was in front of him. And guess what? Jesus came and rescued him in his doubt and in his fear. When he was distracted, Jesus came and rescued him anyway. What is the fear in your life right now? What is it that you are facing? Jesus, he wants you to be able to walk on water, do the impossible through your storm. But also, I want you to know this, that the very worst thing that it is that you have been believing to do with that fear, Jesus is also able to rescue you whenever you are overwhelmed. He's able to come rescue you. And the word said there that when they got back into the boat, that the winds and the waves calmed down and the storm stopped. It ceased. It was over. And Jesus is able to bring an end to the storm that you are going through. So what distractions have you faced and what distractions are you facing there? Keeping your eyes off Jesus and onto the problem. You know, a big one in 2020 is that we have been faced with injustice. I mean, there's people fighting every corner. People are fighting all around us, fighting for peace, fighting for justice, fighting for hope, fighting for an answer, fighting for some kind of normality. And here in Peter's life, as we look on further into his life, we'll see how he was fighting for justice. And there's nothing wrong with fighting for justice, but if we are fighting for something that we're not called to fight for, then we're getting it all wrong. And here, later on, you can read it yourself, but when Jesus was captured and he was going to be led to the cross, he was in the garden. And Judas comes in, who was one of the other disciples, he comes in. And he betrays Jesus with a kiss. And Peter is looking on and he's just been told by Jesus to pick up a sword that he's going to have to fight at some point, but the time wouldn't be yet. But Peter decides to ignore that part. And instead, when he sees his friend and his savior, the Son of God, being arrested and taken away, then he says no to the injustice and anger rises up in him. I mean, he does something that probably you or I would do and he gets angry. I mean, this is Peter now relating to how we might feel. He gets angry whenever he sees the injustice. And what he does is he pulls out his sword and he takes off the ear of one of the soldiers that have come to take Jesus away. He just swipes off that ear. And then we see what Jesus's response is. And this is beautiful. And this convicts us. And this is just crazy. Jesus comes along. And quietly, he picks up the ear and he puts it back on. And he does a miracle right in the moment where he has been betrayed, right in a moment that would be fearful to him, right in a moment where he wouldn't be able to think straight. And yet he can, because he is fully God. You know, he's fully God and he's fully man. He picks up the ear, he puts it back on. And he does a miracle right in that moment. And he turns to Peter and he tells him, Peter, now's not the time. Peter, don't be doing that. Peter, there's a plan and there's a purpose in this. And I want to ask you today, have you been fighting battles that aren't yours to fight? If we fight battles that we aren't called to fight, then we won't be equipped from heaven to fight them. It's as simple as that. Maybe you've been fighting battles today that you haven't been called to fight and it's been draining all your energy. Maybe you've been a keyboard warrior recently and it doesn't make you feel like a nice person, but you feel like you're fighting a battle that you need to fight. I want to ask you today, are you fighting that battle because God has asked you to? Are you fighting that battle because you've had a clear word from God on it? Or are you fighting that battle for some kind of sense of justice and that the world would somehow be right around you? Let God do his thing. Let God be God in this moment. Let God do his thing. Now, there are battles that we are definitely called to fight. And I'm all for the church stepping up and having a voice of light in the darkness and bringing in God's love where there's turmoil and darkness and dismay. But only and only if we have been called to fight those battles, because he will equip those battles that we are sent into. But otherwise, we will just get down and we'll just lose our energy and we will just be so at the end of ourselves if we're fighting battles that we weren't called to fight. The biggest battles in my life that have really, really drained me have been the ones where family have been involved. You know, the ones where I see people that I love being treated badly. Those are the battles where they have been the hardest in my life. And in different moments in my life, God has very clearly said to me, just be quiet. Just take a step back. Just watch me. Watch how I'm going to fight for you. Watch how I'm going to fight for them. If you love them like that, do you not think that I love them even more? Just watch what he does. Let God do his thing. Jesus stayed silent. It's time that we focus on what God has called us to do and anointed us to do. And, you know, right now we have so many teams in church that are serving, and it is absolutely incredible. And just because you are watching online, you doesn't mean that you can't get involved in those teams. There's plenty of online teams and plenty of ways that you're able to serve in church. But sometimes I hear the excuse, you know what, I'm actually just too busy right now. And whenever we look at that excuse, and I've had that excuse many, many times, sometimes it can be like that, you know, I'm too busy for Jesus to do the thing that my church is asking me to do, or to do the thing that I'm being called to do, because I'm too busy fighting this fight, or I'm too busy with my time doing this. And whenever I've looked at those things in my own life, then God has made sure that I've got my priorities right. And I just want to challenge you with that today. There's no condemnation, of course, but I want to challenge you with that today. Are you too busy to do the things that you have been anointed and called to do because you're fighting those battles that you were never supposed to fight in the first place? Let's have a look and see. Now, Peter definitely does get his act together. There's a moment where he breaks, and there's a moment where the Holy Spirit breaks through into his life. And later on, we're going to see about that. But first of all, I want to have a look at one more distraction that Peter faced in his life. And that was the distraction of self-preservation. Now, I can go in from what I was just talking about there. But later on, just moments after that time in the garden, just in the hours after that, Peter actually denies Jesus three times. Jesus warns him that he'll do that. And Peter says, no way, I love you, Lord. But then he has just watched Jesus be taken off, and he's going to be nailed to the cross. He's going to be brutally murdered. And Peter is fearful for his own life. And he then is asked by people around him, are you one of the followers of Jesus? And Peter says, no, I'm not. I don't know him. And again, he says it again and again. He says it three times and he denies Jesus. He says, no, I'm not a follower of Jesus. And he does the thing that he said that he would never do because of self-preservation, because he wants to save his life. You know, the Bible tells us that if you want to keep your life, then you need to lose it. And if you try to keep your life, then you will lose it. That's what it says in his word. And, you know, sometimes we're making decisions to keep our lives and to keep the good things in our lives, and it's all about self-preservation. Maybe you have decided to follow Jesus and you are wholehearted in the background, like inside your head, you're wholehearted. You're following Jesus with your whole heart. But on the outside, the people in work don't know it and the people at home don't see it. But in the background, you say, you know, I've got a secret faith. I've got a private faith with the Lord. God is calling you out of that private faith today. And he is saying, it's time to stop the self-preservation and it's time to put your life on the line for me. Now, Jesus goes to the cross, and not long after that, Peter has this moment of breakthrough in his life where he decides that Jesus is my number one. Jesus is all I want. I am going to serve him. I am going to love him. I don't care if I die. I don't care what I lose from this life, but I am going to follow Jesus. And in Acts 2, we hear about how Jesus has been raised from the dead, and then he has spent 40 days with the disciples. And there's this moment in between where he talks to Peter and he asks Peter three times, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Jesus, I love you. Do you love me? Yes, Jesus, I love you. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, Jesus, I love you. And Jesus gives him his purpose and he says, then feed my sheep. And Peter knows what his purpose is. He knows what his goal is. He feels bad about the times that he denied Jesus, but now he knows that he is fully forgiven and he's let Jesus know, I love you and I'm going to live for you all the days of my life. And then it gets to Acts 2 when the disciples, they've been up in the room, Jesus has ascended to heaven and 500 people have watched, but now the word has spread around Jerusalem and people have said, that Jesus that hung on the cross, we saw him. He has been going around. And not only that, but he ascended to heaven. He really is the Son of God. Do you think he really could be the Son of God? What is going on? And the people are full of questions. And the disciples, they have been in the upper room and they have been told to stay there. Jesus told them, stay there until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And so the Holy Spirit comes like tongues of fire and fills the disciples and the 100 people that were in the room. fills them with his Holy Spirit, and they are born again. And then comes the time where the crowds have gathered outside of the room, and there's about 3,000 people that day. There's thousands and thousands of people, and it comes to the point where these people need an explanation. But it's like that part earlier on in the Bible in the Old Testament where it says, who will go for me? Peter says, I will go. I will go. And he steps out and he goes, and he knows that he could be killed. He knows that the crowd could stone him if they wanted to, but he doesn't look at the wind and the waves any longer. He doesn't look at the storm anymore. He doesn't look at the fear. And instead he steps out. He says no to self-preservation, and he steps out for God in that moment. He said, it says here in Acts chapter 2, Peter stood up with the 11 apostles and he shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, my fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. You need to clearly understand what's happening here." And it goes on here where Peter explains to the whole crowd about Jesus and how he was brutally murdered for no reason, and it was incredible injustice. And Peter starts to fight the fight that he is anointed to fight. And he starts to put this crowd right and to tell them exactly who Jesus was and what he came and did for them, and that they can trust in him too. And later on it says that the crowd were crushed, that they were convicted. And then Peter goes on to lead one of the greatest revivals that the world has ever seen. And right in that moment after he preaches, then 3,000 people get saved. Over 3,000 people get saved. And it is incredible. And it begins the start of Christianity, and it begins the start of the church. And we are here today as the church because Peter stepped up in faith, because he stepped out and did the impossible for Jesus, and he was anointed to do it, and he was filled up with the Holy Spirit to do it. And I want to tell you that no matter what it is that God has called you to do, what are those promises, what are those visions, what are those dreams for your life, God has anointed you to step out in faith, to not look at the fear, to not pay attention to the distractions around you, and to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He has anointed you to fight for him. He has anointed you to step out and do what it is that he has called you to do. Some people are being called today into starting up a new business. Some people are called today into reaching the lost for Jesus. Some of you are being called today to write your testimony down, or to take a video of your testimony and put it out for all to see online. Some people have been called today to reach many, many people for the Lord. And today, no matter what it is that God has called you to do, I want to tell you that you are more than able to do it. Your time is not finished. You are more than able, and he wants to fill you up to overflowing and make it possible for you to do the impossible through him. Whatever we are focused on, those around us will be focused on too. And here we can see that Peter was focused on Jesus. And then the crowd began to focus on Jesus as well, and they gave their lives to him. You know, no matter what it is that we are focused on, the crowd will focus on as well. And so what that looks like is living our lives for him, pouring out our lives for him, laying everything aside and follow him and pressing towards the goal. And those around us will not help but look at Jesus too. How do we reach the world? We show them the love of God. How do we reach our families? We show them what it is to be a true follower of Christ. We show them what it is to lay down our lives for them and love them beyond all measure. Today, there are people all around us, and we get so many different prayer requests every single week from people who are going through so many life-threatening things in their lives, like cancer. And we've seen so many people healed of cancer, praise the Lord, but also people that haven't been healed of cancer. And there's so many things that come through, but I want to tell you that while we have a hope for healing, while we have the answer for healing, and while we have Jesus, we also have the answer for the cancer of the soul. We also have the cure for cancer of the soul. And today you have the words to be able to bring light, to be able to bring life, to be able to bring healing to those who need it. Today you have the cure for the cancer of the soul. You have Jesus, you have the gospel, you know his words, and you can bring that to those around you that are needing it. It's a remedy that works every single time that it is received. So what have you got to lose? Step out for him today. What is distracting you right now? What has been distracting you in 2020 and up to now in 2021? Has it been fear? Has it been anxiety? Has it been injustice? Has it been self-preservation? When we are focused on Jesus, what that looks like is that anything is possible. That we can be overwhelmed, but we can be steady. You see, it's not all going to be easy, but we can be overwhelmed at times, but we can be steady in him. We can be able to give love to people, no matter whether we get it in return. Keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus looks like giving forgiveness to those who have hurt us in the past, whether we get a sorry or whether we get a thank you or not. Today, God is calling you to forgive. Today, God is calling you to give love to those who have hurt you and have persecuted you. To follow Jesus and to keep our eyes focused on him means that God the Father is our source. This is what it looks like to be wholehearted, to have nothing obstructing the way of us giving love to others. And it looks like God being our source. We are part of a kingdom bigger than this world, with everything that we need to be able to sustain us and provide for us. Today, whatever it is that you have been facing, whatever distractions that you have been facing, I pray today that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will not focus on those distractions anymore, but you'll fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Let's just pray together right now. Lord, we thank you for your presence here. God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for your word today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're here to spur us on and to rescue us, Lord, anytime that we need it, Lord Jesus. But Lord, I pray that before we reach out and we cry out for help, Lord, that we will step out in faith, that we'll step out in faith, believing that we can do the impossible and do what it is that we are called to do. Lord, I pray for those who have taken the steps of faith in the last while, but have started to turn and look to the left and the right, and they've seen the overwhelming storm around them, and they've started to sink. Lord, right now, in your mighty power and strength, Lord, will you step out and will you rescue them right now, Lord Jesus? Lord, as we cry out to you, Lord, will you come and rescue us, Lord? I pray, Lord, that you will bring us back into the boat and that, Lord, the sea will calm, the storm will calm. Lord, let the wind and the waves calm all around us, Lord. And Lord, right now, for those who feel like they just need to be held for a moment in your arms, Holy Spirit, I pray that supernaturally that you will be with each person watching, that you will fill us with your peace, that you will fill us with your love, that you will overwhelm us, Lord, with your joy, with your strength, with your goodness, Lord. Fill us to overflowing again. And I pray, Lord, that the weight that the enemy has put on those that are watching right now, Lord, will lift. Holy Spirit, in your name, Jesus, will lift off us, Lord, right now. Lord, that we'll be free to be able to follow you, free from distraction, Lord, to be able to follow you, fix our eyes on you. Lord, I pray that you would give us bravery, boldness, Lord, to be able to fight the fights that only you want us to fight. Lord, bravery and boldness to set aside self-preservation, to say, I'm going to let it all go. I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. I'm going to be sold out for him. Lord, will you help us to be the same in the grocery store as what we are at home? The same in our workplace as what we are in church today, Lord. Lord, will you give us the strength and the boldness, Lord, to be able to stand for you in the middle of the storm? And Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, today for those who are giving their lives to you for the very first time, Lord, that you will be with us, Lord, that you will go with us after this time together, Lord, that you will bless every person that is watching this today. We love you so much, God. We thank you for your presence. And we are so, so filled with joy, Lord, again. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Amen.